Good evening, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. My show is entitled Spirits of the Universe. It's what we are. Not only are we spirits living in the material world, like the song by the Police, remember that one? We are spirits in the material world, our spirits in the material world. But we're also spirits of the universe. And I know that's a surprise to some of you. I'm sitting out here on my patio, and I've got to move my feet a little bit because the sun is shining right through the patio on my face here, and it's very bright. Well, my friends, thank you for joining in, listening to my show. My job, my mission in life, I think, is to make the world a better place. How about you? And making the world a better place is something we should all do. You're not really living if you're not making the world a better place. You're not living your life to its fullest potential, unless you are making the world a better place. For me, not only that, but I think the mandate from the Creator is to bring heaven and earth closer together. Connect them. I went to a movie today and saw Captain Marvel. I just got back a little while ago and, why do I keep watching these movies? I think it's nice to be entertained for a couple of hours and be relaxed. But it's the same thing. All of these superhero movies, they're very violent, right? And my friends, is there any future in violence, really? I mean, I go watch these movies and I'm really getting tired of the violence. I mean, I want to be entertained, but I also think that there is no future in violence. I mean, the acting is good in these movies and the special effects, but all these people getting killed, we don't think twice about it, really. You know, not only people, but extraterrestrial beings like in this movie and so many other movies. I think what we need, and Hollywood, I believe, is beginning to realize this more and more, that people really want to see movies based on true life stories. Give us some movies about near-death experiences, like Heaven is for Real. Movies about people, everyday people like you and me. Enough of this fantasy, especially fantasy violence. And I understand actors, they have to make a living, you know. My son is an actor. And Samuel Jackson was in this movie today. And how many movies have I seen him in? I don't want to say anything negative about that. You know, he's just trying to make money, like we all are. But, and how about alien abductions? Real life stories. There's two that come to mind. And there's two books. From two books. One is called The Contact Has Begun by Phil Kraft. And he lives in California, where y'all are. Well, not all, because I know you're listening from all over the world. But BBS Radio, the great internet radio station, is being heard all over the world. There could be somebody out there listening from Russia, maybe Iceland, perhaps Argentina, Hawaii, Japan, Thailand, Iraq, South Africa. So what I'm saying is, give us more real life. Real life stories instead of fantasy violence. Because there is no future in fantasy violence. We need to be in tune with reality. So I'm thinking, you know, these extraterrestrials, they're out there. They really are. I mean, how many years ago was it that Copernicus said, hey, we're not the center of the universe. Guess what? We actually revolve around the sun. People before that thought, yeah, the Earth is at the center of the universe. I mean, it's been over 500 years now. We've made much progress understanding we're not the center of the universe, that there is life out there. You have to understand the Creator is the creator of bodies and planets and suns and moons, too. A moon is really just a small planet. Yes, the Creator. Think of all the life here on Earth. And some of you might have heard me say this before. You might have heard me say this before. That all the life here on Earth is a veritable paradise. Teeming with life of all kinds, isn't it? It's amazing. 30-some thousand types of fish in the ocean, seas, lakes, and rivers. 10,000 birds. 9,000 reptiles, 5,000 amphibians, 5,000 mammals, thousands of types of flowers and trees and fruits and vegetables. Now, if all that happened by accident, could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? That's logical, right? But think of the other side of the coin. If there is a Creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, wouldn't that Creator have the power and the knowledge to create the same, maybe different life elsewhere in the universe? Is that logical also, my friends? So, Hollywood, please give us real life movies, real people. That's what we want. There's no future in fantasy violence, especially then when we see, oh, there's a cat that just joined our other cat here. I've got a cat sitting next to me on a love seat. Two cats. One is called Snowball and the other is Simba. We have four dogs in our house, so I'm looking at one dog out in our backyard. Got her chair, her own throne that she sits in. And now don't you mess around with my screen. The white cat was chasing geckos yesterday and she jumped up on the screen. She's been catching geckos. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted, you were talking about movies and inspiration, and I just wanted to give a shout out about Spiritual Cinema Circle. They have over 700 movies, and how different our society would be if people knew about Spiritual Cinema Circle. So, thank you.
Well, thanks. What's your name?
My name's Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn. Spiritual Cinema Circle. I'll check it out. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I have a BBS radio talk show too, so thank you.
All right.
Thank you for what you're
doing.
God
bless you.
Yes, thank you. Mine's Spiritual Emergency Training, so bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And we need to love each other more, you know. As human beings on this planet, we're brothers and sisters in spirit, really. As I mentioned, my show is entitled Spirits of the Universe because I know, we have to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge sometimes and say, yes, we are spirits living a material existence here on this planet, the which is not our home. We come from the land of the spirit, okay? The spirit, all right, is made of light energy. You've heard of astral projection, the astral body. It's made of light energy, billions of electrons. And when we dream at night, the dreams that you see, the dreams that you remember, are the eyes of the spirit. Not your eyes. Your eyes are closed when you sleep. And so, there's so many people that don't believe in reincarnation, but really, it's part of the overall picture, the big picture. It's like a part of the jigsaw puzzle that I think some people are missing when they try to understand the big picture. So, you know, we are gods in the making. We are here, and we can die, right? I don't want to say anything negative, but the reality is that, and you've heard this 1,000 times, tomorrow's not promised. You know, if the Creator wanted to, we could extinguish the sun, it would be gone in a second, you know. If the sun extinguished itself, well, actually not right away. Of course, it would take 8 minutes for the light of the sun to come to Earth, and then that would be it. And there would be no light, no heat, and the Earth would freeze up immediately. We'd just spin off into outer space because the sun also keeps us revolving around itself and rotating on our axis. Isn't that amazing? The energy from the sun actually rotates us as well. She had another idea how it happened, how it happens, how it's happening, you know. But that's the truth, really. The sun is revolving us and rotating us, the energy. You can call it gravity, but it's really energy from the sun. And just imagine that power it takes. Again, you call it what you want, but call it power. Just imagine for a few seconds the word power. The power it takes to revolve and rotate a planet of our size, thousands and thousands of miles in diameter. Isn't that amazing? And then that's just our planet. What about the other planets in our solar system? And what about our solar system and our galaxy? And our galaxy in the universe, one of hundreds of galaxies, right? Isn't that easier to understand? One of hundreds of galaxies. I mean, in each galaxy, there are hundreds of thousands of stars, suns, which are really suns, solar systems. I'm putting it in easier to understand terms, you know, because when you start talking billions, it's like it goes over your head, goes over our heads, doesn't it? You know, billions? Really? Are you sure? Is that true? I mean, why'd you say that? Why billions? But then on the other hand, the universe, according to my buddy's research, is approximately 15 billion years old. And all the way to the center of the universe where it all began, the Big Bang, you know, all that time ago. And that's just our universe. Who knows if there are other ones out there? You've heard of the superstring theory, right? That there are other dimensions, parallel universes. But with our material universe, according to my research, began 15 billion years ago. And so it's 15 billion light years to the center of the universe where the great central sun exists. The first solar system was created, and then one solar system after another. And after so many solar systems accumulate, if you will, then a new galaxy is formed with one solar system after another. And here we are in the Milky Way galaxy on a spiral arm, and eventually the Milky Way galaxy will fill up and another galaxy will be formed. So, we are spirits, first of the universe. We live our lives here. We transition to the spirit land, otherwise known as heaven, which is a world on fire. Yes, fire is light energy also, the same thing the spirit is made of. And the spirit can live in fire. You've heard stories of people going to hell and burning in fire. Well, it's true. It's God's jail underneath the earth's surface. way down in the center, down the hole, all the way down to the center of the earth. God's jail, my friends, for the people that need to be taught lessons, just like here on earth, you know, in the everyday reality that we're involved in. You have to comply with the laws of normal society, you know. You have to conform. The murderers, the rapists, the abusers, they're that way and they don't repent before they die. Guess what? They go to God's jail, but it's not eternal damnation. And that's my opinion, which is contrary to what some people believe, but then we're all entitled to our opinion when it comes down to that, right? People tend to think that their beliefs are stronger than others, but we're all human beings. We're the same. Yours isn't any stronger than mine. The only thing that matters really is logic, you know? How logical are you? I gave you some logic a little while ago, and to me, that's proof enough that there is a creator out there, a supreme creator who can create bodies, any type of body. And just imagine the detail that's involved in creating a body. Any insect, for example, it has eyes that can see, tiny little eyes, tiny little beautiful eyes, and a small little brain that powers the body, you know, that allows it to think and to do what it needs to do, whether like a bee flying from flower to flower and collecting pollen and then making honey, and they can fly. They have incredibly intricate, complex wings and the muscles that power the wings, and reproductive systems and metabolisms. And their minds know what to do, and they can go where they want to go. And that's just one or a couple of types of insects, you know, that I was thinking about. So the creator can create millions, has created millions of bodies here on earth. Truly, I mean, there's more than a million types of insects. Forgot to mention that. 30-some thousand types of fish in the oceans. This is really amazing. But, my friends, we are spirits of the universe. And what we're here for is to evolve. We are gods in the making. Through that process of reincarnation, we will evolve to a planet of a higher category of evolution throughout the universe. This is like kindergarten here on Earth. And we're to evolve to grade one and grade two and so on. And how do we do that? Well, we live our lives here. We develop ourselves spiritually. We're supposed to. As I mentioned, helping to make the world a better place is one way to achieve that spiritual development. Being good to people, saying kind words, thinking positive. On my radio show, BBS Radio, and many thanks to BBS Radio, they are helping to make the world a better place. That lady I just spoke with, Lynn, she's got her own radio show. She's helping to make the world a better place. And she mentioned about a place where you can watch spiritual movies. But I think Hollywood has a responsibility for the mainstream America, mainstream world. And there's a lot of people that don't believe in God, too. Some of these actors and actresses that we see so often in the movies, the regulars, you know, Tom Cruise, Samuel Jackson, Tom Hanks, all the big, the famous ones. What are their spiritual beliefs? Do they believe in God? I don't think they're really that much God-centered, if you ask me. And so we're putting our trust and faith in people that probably could be a little bit more, maybe that's not fair of me to say that, because I don't know for sure, so I take that back. I don't know, but I'm saying that we need to put, there's so much responsibility that Hollywood has in influencing our minds, and they need to do it in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Fantasy violence is not the future. And here, these movies come out, and they make millions of dollars over the weekend, you know, when they're first released. And that is a lot of people in America who enjoy watching that fantasy violence. And are they helping to make the world a better place? I don't think so. I mean, those movies. But anyway, I've got a lot of different topics that I want to talk about on my show. Time just goes by so quickly. I'm watching the sun slowly set in the distance behind our backyard. And yes, there are people that are not as evolved as others, you know. And that's not a bad thing. We're all souls on our soul's journey. We're going to meet up one day in that spirit land, which I think is the sun, which is the world on fire. It's a very special fire, the fire of God, the nuclear fire. And I'm looking at it right now, because as I said, we are not only physical bodies, but we're spirits, and the spirit can live in the fire, in a fire. And we had a pre-existence before we came to Earth, before we were born. We don't remember that because our brains are hardwired not to, because planet Earth is a very special existence. It's a world of a lower evolutionary category, for sure. It's very beautiful. It's a wonderful world, teeming with life, as I said, as you know. But it's a planet of, for souls of, on the lower levels of the evolutionary ladder, so to speak. Again, that's not a bad thing. We're all still souls. It's like saying you have someone, two brothers, one's in the first grade, one's in the third grade. Is the brother who's in the third grade any better than the one who's in the first grade just because he's had the virtue of one more grade, actually, than the brother in the first grade? Or someone who's 21 years old, does that make them any better than someone who's 17 because now they can vote or they can drink? No. They're just older. The same with souls. You have souls who are old souls. You have young souls. Young souls who were just created come to planets and they're just finding their way. Therefore, you have all these wars, killing, that have gone on throughout the centuries. Young souls are responsible for that. When you get to a higher evolutionary way of thinking, you realize that killing people is not in accordance with the Creator's wishes. Destroying what the Creator created is not what the Creator wants. In fact, you don't want to make the Creator mad at you. And the Creator can get mad when he finds that his creations are being destroyed. Does that make sense? How would you feel? I mean, you're, as I mentioned, we're all co-creator gods in the making. You die, you go to heaven, spend a little time, enjoy the beauty and the happiness there for a while, and there is no time in heaven. Then we think about reincarnating to a planet, depending on how we lived our lives here on Earth or wherever we came from. I'm talking in general, maybe, you know, on another planet elsewhere. Then that will determine the next planet we go to, and if it's of a higher evolutionary category. So anyway, this movie I saw today, fantasy violence, talking about extraterrestrials, always negative, you know, killing each other. And yes, the acting is good, and the makeup for these extraterrestrials is incredible. The time they spend on making them look realistic, you know, I'm thinking there's probably some out there in the intergalactic community that look like today, for example, in the movie Captain Marvel, what were they called? The ones with the pointed ears? Might be something like that. But these extraterrestrials, the real ones, not the fantasy ones, right? Not the human created ones are out there, and they're looking, they've been monitoring us for thousands of years. And they're thinking, well, these people are so still involved with fantasy violence. These fantasy extraterrestrials are the negative movies and the fantasy violence. And why should we make contact with them if they're still more interested in the fantasy than the real? You know, that's why they're not contacting us, because there's so much interest in this fantasy violence. And so you have to ask yourself, well, do we really want to make contact with the extraterrestrials that are out there? Well, apparently Hollywood has an interest in that, right? I mean, they're making these movies about extraterrestrials, even though they're negative and have a lot of violence in them. But consider Star Trek. You know, it started all out right back in the 60s. And then Star Wars, bad name for a movie. Star Wars, we don't want space to be a violent place, do we, my friends? There's no place in space and out there for warfare. Although I think there is, from what I've read. Every species that are out there go through their own evolutionary journeys. They start out just like school, you know. In fact, you can describe the universe as like the university of the universe. How about that, huh? That's a nice play on words. Where people, it's like a school, but it's evolution. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, so on, 12th grade, college, university, graduate school, PhD. That's what the universe is like. We here on Earth, we're doing really good. I'm happy to say that I'm proud to be a member of the human race. I see all the incredible technology we have. My wife, she talks to a daughter who lives in Tokyo on the phone. We can see her at Facebook, you know, FaceTime, excuse me. Isn't that amazing? I can FaceTime with my son in Burbank, California. We don't think much about the satellite that's up there that's beaming these signals to each other, you know. Or how about you get yourself a new car? My wife drives a 2019 Toyota Highlander. It's a beautiful car. It's got all this modern technology. You shift lanes and it beeps, you know? Got some mechanism that if you get close to a car and you're not aware of it, it'll brake the car for you. Got cool technology on the inside too, where you can receive a phone call. You got GPS. Isn't that amazing? GPS can tell you where you are, where to go. That's incredible technology. I'm very proud of the people that made that. May God bless them. May God bless us for this technology. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, my friends. There's so much more that we can do. Well, let's not, I don't want to say anything negative. Let us help to make the world a better place. Everybody, unless you are making the world a better place, you're not living. So, we need to connect heaven to earth. That's what I'm helping to do. People with radio shows like Lynn and so many others are bringing heaven and earth together. That will bring us to a higher evolutionary category. So you might ask yourself or wonder, well, what is the actual goal of evolving through the evolutionary journey, reincarnating? How evolved can we get, right? Well, that's when we are, as I mentioned, we are co-creator gods in the making. If you can die, you're a co-creator god in the making. You have a heart and a brain, you're a co-creator god in the making. And after this life, when you die, we all will, you will reincarnate on another world somewhere. It could be this one, possibly, but there's so many others to choose from. Not only in our galaxy, but elsewhere throughout the universe. And then one day, or one time in the future, you will have achieved that level of evolutionary status where you will be a co-creator god, and you'll be able to make your own solar system. I tell you the truth. The sun will be the beginning, making your own sun, having your own planets and your own children, animal life, vegetation. You'll determine which goes on where, what planets have whatever atmosphere you want them to have. And you'll have your soulmate there. We're all created with soulmates. When we're breathed, if you will, into existence by our spirit mother and father in heaven, on the sun. Yes, there is a mother god. We live in a universe of male and female, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative. Besides, Father God wants a woman by his side. Who out there wants to say that he's not worthy of having a woman, or that he wouldn't desire to have a woman by his side? Is that logical? That is logical. But then, young souls don't believe in logic so much. I apologize for that. But anyway, the sun is going down in the distance. It's about to disappear behind trees. And yes, the earth is rotating on its axis. What an amazing thing. Well, my friends, let me change the subject and talk a little bit about first people on earth. I know you've heard different things. Let me tell you what I know about the first people on earth. They were from another planet in our Milky Way galaxy. The planet was called Bacchaterini. And they were a yellow or Asian race and a black race. And they came to Earth looking for a planet to live in because their planet had been cooling down. After so many years, ours will do that too. Their sun burns out, you know. Ours will eventually burn out millions of years down the road, I think. So they were looking for a new place to live where the conditions were similar to where they came from, you know, atmosphere-wise. And so the black race decided to settle in what we know as Australia. And the Aborigines are ancestors of that race. And then the yellow or Asian race settled in Burma and China. And then they started to travel east and west, and when they mixed, they created the Arabic race. I don't know if you knew this. The Arabic race is a creation of the yellow and black race, the mixing, the interbreeding of those two races. And then there was a white race that came from a planet, I think, in our I don't know the details, all the details, but they came from a planet in the Milky Way galaxy, and they were white with blonde hair, and they settled in what we know as Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean, northern Atlantic Ocean, just off the coast of Spain. And then there was a race that came and settled another white race in the Pacific Ocean and inhabited the continent of what you might have heard called Lemuria, or Mu, M-U. And then approximately 15,000 years ago, there was a planet that came in close proximity in a neighboring solar system to our planet, and its gravitational effect caused the Earth to stop rotating on its axis. And when that happened, all heck broke loose, and there were earthquakes all over the planet, and continents rose up, others sunk down into the ocean. I mean, continents rose up from the ocean, and some that existed sank down into the ocean, and volcanoes exploded everywhere, and the whole surface of the Earth was reshaped, in other words. That was about 15,000 years ago, and so Atlantis and Lemuria, Mu, sunk into the ocean. Other continents arose. And when that happens, I mean, tsunamis in excess of maybe 1,000, 2,000 even feet in height sweep across the surface of the Earth. And very few people survived, suffice it to say. The ones who lived on higher elevations did survive, you know, thousands of feet above the ocean level, in other words. So that's a little information about that. And politics. Let's touch a little bit on politics. My friends, as I mentioned, we're all brothers and sisters in spirit, yet we have some issues, you know, with our disagreeing with some subjects. Isn't that amazing how the Republicans and Democrats are split about 50-50? And yet we're Americans, right? And then the subject of immigration, it's such a difficult subject. We've got people coming up from Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico who wants to live here in the States and chase that dream, you know, make more money. Basically, they don't make hardly any money down there. And it's very violent down there too. You know, a lot of people being killed. There's not much law and order, my friends, you know, down there. They're a third world country. And so if you've ever lived in a third world country like I have, you see that there is not much law and order, and the value of life is not as much as it is here. Go take a walk down the roads there, and you'll find that pedestrians don't have the right of way. The value of life, I mean, you try to walk out into the road, and you'll get hit and killed. You know, they don't stop for you in some countries. I can tell you that because I've lived in Mexico, I've lived in Venezuela when I was with the army, lived in Germany, a little bit different than Germany, Korea, not as advanced as Germany in the United States, but more advanced than Mexico and Venezuela. My parents were English, but I was born in Canada, so I've had a little bit of an identity crisis in my lifetime to determine who I am. But now I have a good idea. Plus, I've gotten more in touch with my spiritual nature, you know. And there was a time when I had issues with substance abuse, but I blame that on my parents. So I wasn't really responsible for my actions. Well, what year do you think a person becomes responsible, at what age does a person become responsible for their actions? 17, 18, maybe? So what about before then? Are we responsible for our actions when we're 10, 11, 12 years old? No, I think you'll agree, but when do you really think? I mean, when a person becomes drinking age, I tell you that I think we become really responsible for our actions when we lose our parents, when they pass away. My parents passed away in 1999. So I don't blame myself, and I realize this afterwards. Those of you who don't have their parents with you anymore, I think maybe know what I'm talking about better than those that do still have their parents. I don't mean this in any negative way at all. I'm just talking about reality. When I lost my parents back in 1999, I realized all of a sudden I was alone, you know? And it was a hard thing to deal with, especially when I used to talk with my mother and father on the phone every night, you know, I would visit them every few months and hug them and kiss them and always talking to them. And all of a sudden, they're gone. So real responsibility comes, I think, when we're on our own and we don't have our parents with us anymore. Siblings, my sister, I still have my sister. She lives in Seattle. And I have my son. But our parents are so responsible for the way we are. They shape and mold us, you know, from the very beginning. The love that they give us, even how they change their diapers, makes a difference, my friends. And so, going back to politics, when I was in Venezuela, too, I noticed that the opposition there, Chavez, was there when I was stationed in Caracas. 50-50, the same thing. And with the immigration, you know, I understand that we have to have a border. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't call it a border, right? I mean, we can't have open borders. I mean, no people at all there. I mean, people can come and go freely. No, we have to have a border. And having a border, there has to be certain rules, laws that we have to use. Who can come in and who can't, right? Still, we want to, our country was founded on a diversity of people coming from all over the world. The Chinese helped build our country, for example. And these people from Guatemala, Honduras, they're women and children, you know, and men. We have to be kind to them, I think, but they have to enter our country in accordance with our rules. Now we find so many of them that have come here seeking asylum, and it's legal to seek asylum, but now we're being overwhelmed by these asylum seekers. So we need to, and I don't really want to spend too much time talking about this because it's not really a subject that is interesting as other ones for me. But I think, and as I was mentioning before, we need to love each other. You know, when Lynn called me, I felt that love there, that in her, someone who has come a long way, no doubt, lived a lifetime, experienced so much, so many experiences. And so we should be loving each other, you know, not embroiled with these difficult arguments and debates, but instead learning to talk. And I see the good in that, you know, like we watch CNN all the time. And it's such a long process talking over these issues, you know, working things out. But we have to admit when we're wrong. I mean, both sides. Take responsibility. I will say one thing. Well, maybe I won't say that. Talking about Mr. Trump, to me, he's like a big brother. I really love the man. He's funny. I think he has a great sense of humor. And it's a difficult job being president, you know? Think about it if you were president, having to deal with that opposition. But I think he's handling it well. I gotta get a snack. I gotta eat something. So bear with me. I'm gonna check my phone here. Yep. Went out to eat lunch today. Well, we had lunch at the movie theater. Okay, what can I have? There's a banana there. I think a banana would be just perfect. Getting cooler out here on the patio. I need to take the dogs out after my radio show. We jump in the car and we go to Lackland Air Force Base. And I let the dogs run free. There's a place where we can go where there's nobody walking around. And they don't bother them anyway. Our dogs are cool. You know, they just like to run, get their heart rate up. You know, that makes them happy. I do too. I do a little bit of running. And I found that the best way to exercise is to do the Jeff Galloway. You might have heard of him, the walk, run, walk. I think for him though, it's a run, walk, run. But running is a good thing, but not too much. We want to get our heart rate up, you know, so we can get that circulation going better in our bodies, right? So we can live better, ensure our longevity. But also walking. But when you, I'm going through this as a slow process to realize what is best. But I found that running for 200 meters and then walking for 200 meters or maybe a little bit longer is a good form of exercise. I think it's the best. And that's what Jeff Galloway said. He runs a marathon, runs for 30 seconds, walks for 30 seconds, runs for 30 seconds, and the whole marathon like that. Anyway, so running, remember when we were young, we used to run everywhere when we were children? And we were happy, weren't we? Always laughing as children. You know, any children, think in your mind of children that weren't usually laughing or giggling and screaming. Because they ran. We used to run everywhere. Running is good. We were born to run, my friends. Just don't do too much. You know? Some people say their knees or their back get stiff. Yeah, well, that's why you need to try the walk, run, walk method. Start walking. Warm up. Run for 30 seconds. Walk for however long you want. And run for 30 seconds again. You get a nice gait, you know, open up your gait, stretch it out, whatever pace you want, then walk again, and walking. Anyway, there's so many subjects, my friends. I was talking to one the other day, and I don't have much more time left, but I will say this. I'm eating this banana. I talked with Doug at DBS Radio, and we said that praise would be a good subject to talk about. There's so many good things I can say about Doug and DBS Radio. Well, let me just say, Doug, what a nice man he is. Kind, thoughtful, just a beautiful soul. And I know all of you out there are beautiful people. I think we should praise each other more, don't you? Praise, as I was talking with Doug the other day, is like a form of love. It's a very pure form of love, an expression of love. When you say something nice about somebody, even if it's difficult to say, it's still good to say those words, you know? And that brings up a subject of the words we speak have a lot of power. So please be mindful. Yes, it's true. You can create with your words. And you can destroy with your words too. But there is no future in destruction. Agreed? The only future is positivity. Speaking positive words. Thinking those thoughts first, but then speaking them. Just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So how do you think God, what kind of words did he speak? Well, with the Son, he said, let there be light, huh? Let there be water, let there be earth, let there be fire. Fire and light, same thing. But it's more than that. Let me give you an example. Another example. Say you wanted to, mankind and all of its glory, technological prowess, cannot create an apple seed, you know, that will grow into a beautiful apple tree and have apples. In my backyard right now, I'm looking at a peach tree. There's peaches all over it, young peaches budding. Yes, here in South Texas, my friend, the weather is warm. It got up to about 80 degrees today, sunny. I know in other parts of the U.S., it's very cold, still in April. I'm from Canada, did I tell you? I think some of you that listen to prior radio shows of mine. By the way, I had a radio show one time called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. And in case you didn't know, I entitled it that because I say that the soul is the brain of the spirit, just like the brain of the physical body is the brain of the physical body. The soul is the brain, so to speak, of the spirit. It has all of our past life memories, and it powers the spirit. The spirit is like a body. It's not material. It's made of spirit. But it's very similar. It can move. It moves similarly. Good subjects, right? Good stuff. And thank you for this opportunity to talk to you all and share my beliefs and my knowledge. I say beliefs because there's some things I'm not 100% certain of because my knowledge is limited in some areas, greater in other areas. I read a lot. And I think a lot. I pray a lot, too. You know, the creator of our souls and spirits, our Mother God and Father God, our co-creator gods, in their own right, they lived on planets like the planet we're living on now. They went through their own evolutionary soul journey. But my friends, when you're talking about the creative universe, you're talking about a different God. The supreme creator, the original creator spirit, the great spirit is out there. Well, one thing I do like about, don't get me wrong about some of these movies, the violent movies, but they do say some really good things. I heard something good today in the movie Captain Marvel. Besides the violence, which I think is a prerequisite to keep people's attention, They said that if you look at the, they call it the supreme intelligence in that movie. Indeed, there is a supreme intelligence out there, but not the way that they showed it to be. But the supreme creator is a force, a power, a spirit that is huge in size. I mean, the supreme creator also can create something out of nothing. So, in essence, the supreme creator is magical. A magic that perhaps we can't fathom. Incomprehensible. The power and magic that the supreme creator has at his or her disposal to create whatever. Whatever whim, at whatever whim. I mean, think of all the different life here on Earth. A bird just flew over and landed on a fence outside of looking at it. That little bird has eyes, a beak, wings to fly, has a little heart that powers the blood that pumps around its body, feathers. It reproduces, you know, makes other little birdies. It does what it wants to. It's flying around. It wants to fly there. It goes there. If it wants to fly here, it flies here. By now, he's listening to me. Might be a female. Oh, and there's the cat. Watch out, there's the cat. She's trying to jump up on the fence. I think she sees it, but she won't be able to catch it because the bird's too fast. But she is, she's been catching a lot of geckos. And it doesn't wind up good for the gecko, but yesterday there was one that it caught, she caught, that was fighting back and it was opening its mouth and trying to bite it. And what I heard afterwards, we went to a jazz festival last night, and apparently that gecko bit her on the face somewhere and she was rolling on the ground with it holding onto her face, and I think that one escaped with its life. But that was good. Okay, my friends, I've been told I've got 1 minute, so let me just say a prayer for you all, for us. I love you. We are brothers and sisters in spirit. Please keep the faith. Thank you for listening to my show. I pray that our Mother God and Father God will bless you in any way you need it. Remember that the greatest prayer of all, and this is very difficult to say, and I challenge you, please, learn to say this prayer because it will greatly enhance your spiritual development and your evolution. You ready? God, please bless us, everyone, just like Tiny Tim in A Christmas Carol. Please learn to say that prayer. God, please bless us, everyone. I love you. Take good care of yourselves. Until 2 weeks from today, same time, same channel, and God bless BBS Radio. I'll see you then. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.